certainly thank Pastor Matt. I'm extremely excited to be here. Talk with Pastor Matt via text a few times this week and last week when he invited me back quickly, brought me back to Living Hope to get it right this time. So he was very nice about how he invited me back to get this preaching thing right. But I am extremely excited to be here. It's always happy to, or always a good thing to be able to meet your new family members, your new cousins and brothers and sisters and friends in the kingdom, in the church as a whole. I'm excited today to have my mother with me and my two daughters, and I am extremely excited to have my beautiful wife with me. Turn to Matthew chapter 2, if you will. We'll read verses 1 through 12. I read from the English Standard Version. I'm sure many of you do also. But whatever Bible you have, as long as it has 66 books, starts with Genesis and ends with Revelation, you are doing all right. Let me pray, if you will. Father God, I ask right now that you would forgive me of my sins. I acknowledge the fact that you are a great and perfect and all-powerful God. God, stand and speak through me right now. God, I've adopted the Puritan Praise Report as my personal prayer request. So, God, if just for these moments you would extend to me the grace to preach like a dying man, a dying woman and men, as if to never preach again, I'd be forever grateful. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. It reads like this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." But when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes and the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Today I like to preach from the thought, a warning after worship. Wherever it is that you've come from, if you come from the east, if you come from the west, the north, the south, if you come from far or if you come from near, if you have come to worship, and you do indeed worship, you'll leave from this place with a warning. The nativity scene is often confusing. In fact, the nativity scene is often wrong. So often it is this object of scenery that we see, and it prompts us to recall, or it prompts us to think about our Savior's birth. Unfortunately, far too often, this scene, this nativity scene, the baby Jesus and in the barn, and his mother and his father with him, and sometimes there's shepherds there, and at the same time there's wise men there. It leads us to believe, unless you study your Bible, that wise men and shepherds had ended up at this barn together. And I like to point out something about this fictional nativity scene. It's really misleading, because by the time the wise men got to Jesus, more than likely Jesus was a toddler. More than likely he was crawling or walking around. More than likely he was reaching up for his mother and reaching out to his father. And another thing, at this time, when the wise men showed up, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph was no longer in a barn. But the Bible tells us that they were in the house. Let's look at the scripture. Here it is in Matthew 2, 1 and 2. We find that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, these wise men from the east, these Gentile men, came to a place they may have been unfamiliar with, and they wanted to know one simple thing. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Notice what they did not want to know. The wise men didn't come, and they weren't asking around town, where is the most popular place in the city? Who has the biggest church in the city? Where is the jumping club in the city? Where's the best school district in the city? They weren't asking, who are the most popular people in the city? I want to rub shoulders with the rich and the famous. They didn't ask what the major attraction was around the city. These wise men didn't even ask, who is the current king? These wise men came with confidence, and they wanted to know one thing. Where is this child who has been born the King of the Jews? And they said, we saw his star when it rose. Now, according to Luke, in his gospel, an angel showed up with a message and told the shepherds who were out in the field about a special child in a language that shepherds understood. And here we are in Matthew. These wise men received not a message from angels, but a sign, a star in the sky. And the wise men understood somehow that this extraordinary star means that an extraordinary child has been born. And they said, we have come to worship him. The wise men said, there's only one thing on our agenda today, and that's worshiping him. We've come to kiss his hand, and we come to bow down before him. We've come to get on our face and worship him. We've come to be in his presence. We've come to bring him gifts. Obviously, verse 3, the Bible says that Herod heard the news about these strange men in town. And obviously these wise men were all around town questioning whomever they could about where this extraordinary child was, because their agenda was so important. Watch this. They had come a great distance to worship a great king, and Herod was not him. And as a result, this man Herod, the so-called great, displays his insecurity. I know that because our Bible says that Herod was troubled. He was struggling with an inward commotion. He was off balance. He was harmed in his thinking. And this is a word I spent 2 years in clinical care in the pastoral care setting of a local hospital. And one of the terms that was used was harmed in his thinking, harmed in her thinking. And whereas in the clinical setting, in the hospital setting, when you're providing pastoral care, if somebody is harmed in their thinking, that usually means that they were suicidal. They were thinking suicidal thoughts. But here in the text, when the Bible explains that Herod was troubled and he was harmed in his thinking, he wasn't thinking suicidal thoughts. He was thinking homicidal thoughts. I'm going to kill the next person in charge. I'm going to slay him. I'm going to defeat him because I have to keep my seat as king. Herod was on edge when these wise men came to town. And because Herod was on edge, the people that he led, all of Jerusalem, was on edge with them. You see that in the text? It says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. He was struggling, so Jerusalem was struggling too. But watch this. Jerusalem was troubled because also Jerusalem seen the craftiness of Herod. They seen his corruption too. Jerusalem knew that Herod was a dynamic builder, but they also knew that Herod would have you beheaded in a minute. Jerusalem knew that Herod would sit in his seat as king of the Jews by any means necessary. If that means killing your wife and killing your children, Herod said, I'm going to keep this seat. So regardless of where these men came from, regardless of who's supposed to show up and be king, I'm running this thing. Because Herod was troubled in his spirit. But watch this. Verses 4 and 6. It says, verses 4 through 6, it says, and assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired. Now, that word inquire, it's a funny word because it paints the picture that Herod didn't just ask once. He didn't just call a meeting and ask a question. As a matter of fact, the King James Version, I believe, says that Herod demanded to know. It literally paints the picture of Herod walking up on you and demanding over and over again, tell me what I want to know. And it says he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. And they told him in Bethlehem of Judea, watch this, for so it is written by the prophet. Herod was no fool. He knew that a king would be born. He was familiar with what the prophets had said. He knew how Christ would be born and where Christ would be born, to whom Christ would be born, and more importantly, why Christ would be born. But the Bible says that Herod gathered all the big shots in town, the chief priests and the scribes, and Herod literally kept on asking them, where is this? Why is this? What time is this? Where will Christ be born? Herod wanted a second opinion for what he already knew. And don't you know that all of us have a little bit of Herod in us? Nah, we're not going to kill our family members like Herod did. We aren't going to lead people grudgingly like Herod did. We aren't going to call for a mass murder of infant children and toddlers like Herod did. However, we will, like Herod, refuse to embrace what the prophet said. Even today, somebody will boldly ignore what thus says the Lord. All of us have a little bit of Herod in us. We are such sinful and wicked people that we read our Bibles. We study the scripture. We hear what thus saith the Lord. And then we want a second opinion. So we check and we see what current culture has to say about what thus says the Lord. So we see with what thus says the Lord lines up with our traditions and our trends. So we see what the popular people groups are saying if they believe, if they trust what thus says the Lord. So we see if that the Bible lines up with how we're feeling at a particular moment, because we want a second opinion. Like it or not, some of us are like Herod. Matt Chandler, the pastor at the Village Church in Dallas, in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas, he was recently preaching a sermon. And he says, it's extremely strange that when we have problems, we'll go to men like Dr. Phil. And we'll tell Dr. Phil our problems, and Dr. Phil will simply say, you're having this problem because you're stupid. And we'll say, yeah, that's it, I'm stupid. And then we'll go to Oprah. Oprah seems to be everybody's hero. And whatever Oprah says about anything, it just happens to be law. Everybody knows that Oprah is right. She's Oprah. You can't be wrong if you're Oprah. But watch this. If the man of God opens the Bible and tells you what thus says the Lord, we say, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's right. Oh, but if your best friend tells you that the sky is green, blue is that. I had been thinking that all the time. No, you. What thus says the Lord is right, regardless of how you think, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how much you think you know. Amen. Yet, in our sinful, wicked hearts, we read the Word of God, and then we have the nerve to want a second opinion. Now, the strange thing is this. The people that Herod caught, they weren't even believers. They were the enemies of Christ. they rejected Christ. In fact, these were the same people that years later would crucify Christ. But watch what these people tell Herod. They tell Herod, this child will be born. Verses 5 and 6. This child will be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Watch this. For it is written by the prophet. Allow me, if you will, to point out two things. First, even a broke clock is right at least twice a day. These chief priests, these scribes were as wicked and self-righteous and unrighteous as they come. They had no interest in a relationship with our Savior. They were close in proximity, yet far away in relationship. Yet these men knew what the prophet had written was true. Secondly, let me point out the fact that this was not some false prophet that gave this information. This wasn't some name it and claim it, health and wealth, charismatic fool. This was the prophet Micah that said this. Micah was no jackleg. In fact, the themes in prophet Micah is really twofold. You read the book. One is to convince sinners of their sins. And then two is to encourage God's people with the promises of mercy and rescue. I don't know about you, but I am extremely glad today that God gave me a chance to admit my sins, to confess my sins. But watch this. I am extremely glad that God is a God of mercy and that God is one who rescues. I know that he rescues because I was far away from God. I wasn't looking for God. He came looking for me. There's a YouTube clip, and it tells the story about a man in this deep, 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 deep hole. The man has no way to get out of this hole. And every day, somebody would walk past this hole, and they would give this man a little bit of advice. They'd look down in the hole, and they'd say, you're probably going to die there. And if I had some rope, I probably would rescue you if I had time. And then the next day, somebody would come by and they look down in the hole and they tell him, if you pray to the east 4 or 5 times a day, then you won't be rescued, but in your next life, you'll be okay. And then the next day, somebody came and they looked in the hole and they said, are you all right down there? And the man in the hole said, no, I'm not all right. And the man simply told him as he looked down in the hole, well, you got yourself down there and you're on your own. But then the next day, another man came. This was a strange man. And the man simply asked him, would you like to get out of this hole? And nobody had ever asked him, had he liked to get out of that hole before? And the man looked up and he said, yes, I'd like to get out of this hole. And strangely enough, the man who asked him that question seemingly walked away. And then this man who asked him that question came back. And he threw a rope down in this deep hole. And the man didn't say, climb up and come to me. The man got down in the hole with him and he picked him up and he took him where he needed to be. That's what God did for us. He got down in the hole. He got down in the pit. Yes, and he rescued me. He rescued you. God is a rescuer. In other words, because Herod knew what the prophet said, Herod was aware of his own sin, but he also was aware of the promised one who would be born in Bethlehem that would rescue the elect from their sin. But watch this. Verse 7 through 9, it says, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when they had found him, and when you found him, bring him word that I too may come and worship him. In verse 9, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came and rested over a place where the child was. Herod had displayed his insecurity. And not only does an insecure leader want a second opinion, but an insecure leader has a tendency to call secret meetings. Watch this. Herod summoned these strangers. Herod had a sinful plan, and it was pitiful. And Herod inquired what time the star had appeared. He inquired what time the star had appeared because he was appalled. Herod was appalled at the fact that a new king, that a true king, that a true redeemer, that a true rescuer was now born. Herod instructed these wise men. He said, go to Bethlehem. He instructed them to the right place with the wrong motives. He said, go to Bethlehem. Search diligently for the child. And when you found him, return to tell me so that I too may come and worship. And this is what I find is odd. Herod knew at the very least the vicinity of where Jesus would be. Herod also knew that this caravan, this group of wise men, he also knew that they were really going to truly worship this newborn king. But then look at this. Herod wanted to include worshipers in his dirty work. Somebody always wants to get in the way of true worshipers. Somebody always wants to cause you to stumble on your way to worship. Somebody always wants to include you in their mess in worship. I don't know about this church, and I'm sure it's not so, but in a lot of churches in America, back home and stuff where I live at, people often aren't interested in going to church to hear the gospel. Oh, but if they can go and get some gossip. If they can go and see what sister and brother had on this week. If they can go and get some damaging news. If they can get a story to hang over somebody's head. They're all for that because, watch this. Like Herod, there'll be people who try to get in the way, who try to manipulate your worship. Herod really didn't want to worship. He wanted to interrupt these guys. He wanted to manipulate these wise men. But watch this. Like these wise men, be focused. When you come to worship, worship. These wise men said, I got one thing on my agenda. This morning, I got my family together and we hopped on 90. And I'm glad that you invited me back, Living Hope. I'm glad to meet Pastor Black. As a matter of fact, me and Pastor Black took a picture. I made him look real good. But the truth of the matter is this. I didn't come to see what you all had on. I didn't come to shoot the breeze. I came because Jesus was here, and I knew that I'd have an opportunity to worship. That's what these wise men, they said. They said, I've come all the way from the east. I've come all the way from the rising of the sun, and I've come to worship the true and living Son. And then, let's look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. As much as we don't like it, the reality is these wise men did listen to Herod. These wise men did hear Herod out. These wise men, through the providence of God, didn't even discern the wickedness of Herod's heart. They heard the request of this wicked man, but the Bible says that they went their own way. It literally says that these wise men went the best way that they knew how to go. They did the best thing that they knew how to do. They did what was in their own natural strength. They did what was in their own natural thinking. And they departed and they went their own way. My wife always teases me because I'm bad with directions. I'm really bad with directions. In fact, she bought me a button for Valentine's Day one year, and it simply says something like, I'd be lost without my wife. And the reality is, I'd really be lost without my wife. When me and my wife first start dating, her family is from Chicago. They live on the south side of Chicago. And I went to school downtown Chicago, so well, I knew I didn't know where I was going, but I figured, hey, I know where I'm going, and plus I'm trying to impress you. We were getting off on the Dan Ryan or something like that, and she says, turn this way, watch this, turn this way to get to my daddy's house. And I'm like, your daddy's house is not that way. I can go a little further. Now, perhaps you didn't hear the foolishness in what I just said, and you get this because I'll probably never admit it again. She was giving me directions to her father's house, the house she grew up in, the neighborhood she played in, the place where all her people dwell. And I tell her, nah, you don't go that way. You go this way. And the next time I saw was something like Gary, Indiana, or something like that. We had went for Thanksgiving, and for some reason that her family thinks that you're not supposed to eat Thanksgiving till like 8 o'clock. So we were all right. So I still kind of got the upper hand. But anyway, I was using my own thing. I was doing the best I knew how to get to where I thought I wanted to go, and that's what these wise men did. They left Herod and went their own way. But then we see these divine directions. Because the Bible says, then God stepped back in, and the star that they had seen in the east now went before them. In other words, the same star that got them in the vicinity of Jesus had now gotten them all the way to Jesus. Because the Bible says that this star, this extraordinary star, it stood still over the place where Jesus was. It stood still where Jesus was. And contrary to that nativity scene, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus was no longer in a barn. Joseph had provided a place for his family to stay. Now, I don't know really much about this community, but let me tell you that this was not a house in a gated community. This was not a house in the burbs of Bethlehem. This wasn't Mama Mary's dream home. I can almost guarantee, because that young Mary and Joseph, this carpenter, this poor family, I can almost guarantee you that this house where the king was, this house where the king lay his head and his mother fed him, was in the urban inner city struggling Bethlehem. The king, let me talk like I want to for a minute. The king was in the hood. Amen. The king came off the block. I don't know where you come from, but I come from off the block. And I'm thankful by God's grace that he picked somebody off the block, that he picked somebody who could have went a different direction to proclaim his gospel. Amen. But God prepared this poor community. And from that poor community, from Bethlehem of Judea, that's where the King of Kings was. That's where the Lord of Lords was. That's where our Savior was. And then, verse 10 and 11, our Bible says that these Gentiles, these stargazers, these students of the sky, these smart astrologers, these wise men. Our Bible says that they had this emotional experience. Now I know that we lean heavily toward, unapologetically toward a Calvinistic circles. We have no problem with calling ourselves Reformed. But the Bible seems to paint the picture that these guys got charismatic for just a little while. This Bible, it says that they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, I don't know what church you all grew up in. I don't know where you come from, but the church I come out of, there's patting of your hands and there's tapping of your feet. Every now and then, the old mother in the church, she shout out glory. Every now and then, somebody will take off running in the middle of the sanctuary because they were thankful about how good that God has been to them. Amen. And excuse me if you want to, if I get a little excited. If I start to raise my voice, if it seems like I'm singing and talking at the same time, it's because I'm rejoicing with exceedingly great joy. Amen. These wise men got to the place where Jesus was and they got to shouting and acting undignified. These wealthy men was acting like poor folks for a little while. These men who normally wouldn't step outside of their comfort zone had gotten to the place where Christ was. And when you get to the place where Christ was, you ought to throw up your hands every now and then. You ought to shout out glory every now and then. I know this is a Reformed church and you're looking at me quite funny, but let me tell you, I've gotten in the presence of God and I'm happy about it. So look at me if you're funny, if you will. I don't care because I'm in Jesus' presence and I love him. He came and got me out of a pit. I refuse not to celebrate my Christ. I know you might not invite me back this time. Bible says that these wise men worship baby Jesus. Now, I'm sure when they got into this house, I'm sure they gave Mary a great big hug and asked Mary how she was doing. I'm sure they complimented her furniture and told her how good her cookies was that she had laid out. I'm sure they told Joseph how nice his yard was looking and he had did a great job landscaping. But the truth of the matter is, they didn't come to see Mary. They didn't come to see Joseph. They came to worship Jesus. And the Bible says that they did worship Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that they worshiped Jesus in such a way that these rich, dignified men, these wise men, these smart men, these men of brilliance, the Bible says that they opened their treasure. The Bible says that they fell down and they worshiped him, but they opened their treasure. They literally opened the trunk or the coffin of what contained what was most valuable to them. They opened up their traveling trunks. And they took out what was most precious. They took out what was most valuable. They took out the best that they had. And watch this. They didn't give it to Mary. They didn't give it to Joseph. The Bible says that they gave it to Jesus. Jesus deserves our very best. And if you haven't gave Jesus your best, you haven't worshiped yet. If you haven't given Jesus the best that you have, watch this. If you cheer louder for the Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, and them sucky Cubs, louder than you cheer for Jesus, the Savior of your soul, then something is wrong. Amen. The Bible says that these wise men, these dignified men, these rich men, they were had on nice suits and stuff. They got on the ground and they worshiped and they opened their trunk and they gave Jesus this baby boy, this king, the best that they had. Then we get down to verse 12. And it says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Write this down. It was a different sign, but it was a new destiny. Our Bible tells us that these wise men were warned. It means, that word warning, it means that they were divinely taught. It means that they were admonished and commanded. It means that they received instructions from heaven. It says that they were warned in a dream. The law of first mention proves to the serious Bible student that word dream is found first in the Old Testament book of Genesis. I don't have time to run through the whole story, but let me give you just a quick preview of where we first see that word dream. Abraham and his wife, they were on a journey. Lot had just messed up. He had just caused some problems. And Abraham and Sarah, his wife, was on a journey. And there were some people who, like Sarah, let me give you a real brief synopsis. There were some people who liked Sarah because Sarah, even in her old age, was fine. I'm talking about Sarah was a beautiful sister. And there were some men who found Sarah attractive. And Abraham, in his wisdom, knew that if I tell them this story, they'll kill me. So let's just do this. We'll tell them. We'll simply tell them. We'll give them half a truth. We won't give them the whole truth. We'll simply say that you're my sister. And that's what they did. And these men was going to take, or this particular man, he was going to take Sarah and keep Sarah for himself. And as a result, a dream, this man who was going to take Sarah had a dream. And God told this man in this dream, if you keep Sarah, then you will die. He said, Sarah is somebody else's wife. So, brothers, let me point out something real quick. Y'all don't do that here. Don't mess with another man's wife because somebody might strike you down. But it says this. The man had a dream, and in that dream, God warned him. So here we are, the first time we see dream in the scripture, it's a warning. And then here in Matthew 2, verse 12, we see the wise men had a dream, and in that dream, they get this warning. What is the warning? Don't go back to Herod. He said, I know Herod, I know his name means the heroic one, but he's really not a hero. Don't go back to him. I said, I know Herod has built this grand, or is building this grand temple, but don't go back to Herod. I said, Herod is bad news. Don't go back to him. They got this warning in a dream. Now, these are wise men. Normally, they looked at stars. They were astrologers. They found their way by stars, but in a dream, they got the information that you're going to have to, watch this, you're going to have to go back home, but you need to find another way. So the wise men got up, and the Bible says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. What am I getting at? That word, way, whereas it may be a certain type of directions or the best way to get there. But that word way, The funny thing is this. It's the same word that Jesus himself used in John when he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So God in a dream told Herod, or told these wise men, go a different way. You don't get this yet. These wise men had showed up and they had already started looking for the way. These wise men had showed up in Bethlehem, and when they seen over the star over the house, they went into the house and they worshiped the way. Now here it is in a dream that God tells them, don't go back to Herod, go another way. What does that mean? Wherever you go, you better go in Christ. He is the way. My brothers and my sisters, Jesus is the way. Regardless if you come from the north, the south, east, west. Regardless if you came from near or far. If you've truly worshiped, your warning is go the way. What is that way? It's not so much a question of what is the way, where is the way? It's who is the way? Jesus Christ is the way. After worship, you've been warned, you've been taught to go the way in Christ. Let me pray for you all. Father God, we thank you for your word. I pray right now that it did not fall on deaf ears. God, I pray right now for this church. Thank you for this church. And God, we thank you that your son, Jesus Christ, is the way. Regardless of where we come from, God, we thank you for that way. God, we ask that you would bless us, make us a blessing. Use us for your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.